Hello, I'm Kelly Klinger. I am a former extra on the Mickey Mouse Club and was once a background singer for Britney Spears. I am a daughter, a sister, a wife, and a mother. I am a songwriter, a friend, a blogger, and a Christian. I am also a post-abortive woman who has lived with paralyzing self-hatred and suffocating guilt because of my choices. After finding healing in the arms of a loving God, I also found a resounding voice inside of me to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the unborn babies who are no longer safe inside the womb, and for the millions of women who are feeling the destruction and pain that abortion leaves in its path. Please join me for the Colorado March for Life on January 21st at 12 o'clock noon at the Colorado State Capitol as I honor my children in heaven and all of the lives that have been stolen by the abortion industry. Help us continue our fight to end abortion now and promote personhood in Colorado by adding your voice to mine. I hope to see you there.
Warning, warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There is a big effort underway in a Tennessee county to reduce the number of teen pregnancies in the local public high school. And it's a three-pronged effort, so we'll consider those efforts and try to determine in advance if they will work. I was on Facebook. I don't often go to Facebook, but my wife, Cheryl, told me that an article I had written back in the, when was this? Back in the 1990s, or was it 1989? Let's see here. Has been making the rounds on Facebook since the story has come out of the 90 girls at Frazier High School in Memphis, Tennessee, who have given birth this year or are currently pregnant. 90 girls, what a great tragedy. And so there are people on Facebook. Let's see, who are they? Crystalline Carazin from Lancaster, California. Kanika K. Do we know Kanika? That sounds familiar to me. Kanika. Isn't that the Hawaiian word for David? David? Kanika, that folks have been posting an article that I wrote, a guest editorial that was published in the Rocky Mountain News many years ago. And we look at this occasionally, and now that this is in the news again, I mean, if you have Google alerts about the horrendous goings-on at our public schools, your inbox will be flooded. I mean, just the story, what, a week ago, a bus driver was she convicted or pled guilty of driving drunk with the school bus full of kids? And then another female teacher who pled guilty to having sex with a young boy, the police caught them in a car behind a Kohl's clothing store. And so this is all, it's just never ending, ongoing. And so here with 90 students having given birth or currently pregnant this year, now the school has about 800 students. So they're saying, now 90, you think, well, that's over 10%, right? 11% or so. But there were also boys involved, right? There are also boys involved. So make that 180 approximately. So you're coming up to almost a quarter of the students of this high school have become parents in 1 year, almost a quarter, in this good-sized school. And that doesn't include all the kids who were brought to the local abortion clinic to kill the child while mom and dad are at work, or most likely dad's not home and mom's at work, and the kids are taken by the school administrators to the local abortion clinic to kill the baby. Now, does that reduce teen pregnancy? Actually, no. You still have one pregnancy and then one abortion. You still had one pregnancy. It does increase the number of children who are killed to try to cover up teen pregnancy, but it doesn't reduce teen pregnancy. So I'd like to go to this article back in 1989, this guest editorial that was published by the Rocky Mountain News, and share this with you. I was a parent involved in the District 14, Adams County District 14 Accountability Committee, and that was something that in Colorado is mandated by law, that a certain number of parents are involved, and there's an accountability committee for each school, and then a committee over those for each district. And so here we go, by Bob Enyart. 3 years ago tomorrow, I resigned for a stupid reason from the Adams County District 14 Accountability Committee. So I open up saying I did something stupid. That must be why the Rocky Mountain News published it. Superintendent Richard Weber had just implemented a condom distribution program to reduce teen pregnancy and disease. I somehow had the backward notion that this would actually increase teen pregnancy, so I resigned in protest. It's pretty foolish, huh? They're going to start giving the kids condoms, free condoms, to anybody at the school. And of course, that's going to reduce teen pregnancy, right? I had the backward notion that it would increase it. So silly. Eventually, though, we all read of Adams City High School's birth rate increase of 42%. That was May 5th, 1992. A teen moms abound at Adams High. One birth for every eight girls yielded 108 children in 1 year, a record. And that's a state record. They still hold the state title in Colorado for the most babies born in 1 year. The state title goes to Adams City High School. It's a record. A couple of years earlier, my resignation letter read, and then I quote verbatim, the rest of the article is my resignation letter that I wrote 3 years earlier. So our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. So let me read just the beginning of the letter I had written 3 years earlier when I resigned, which was published by local newspapers in Colorado and then republished by the Rocky Mountain News after the prediction came to pass. To the District 14 Board of Education, I am hereby resigning. By distributing condoms in Adams City High School, we are running the risk of increasing teen pregnancy, AIDS, and other venereal disease among our children. When the board chose this course of action, it did not reference any studies that indicated condom distribution would help reduce teen sexual problems. Why? Because there are none. The studies show the opposite. Let me continue here. Planned Parenthood Federation of America financed a 1986 Harris poll, a Lou Harris poll, titled The Planned Parenthood Poll, American Teens Speak Sex, Myths, TV, and Birth Control. The teens in the poll admitted that Planned Parenthood approved comprehensive sex education courses did not affect their behavior. There was a 50% higher rate of sexual activity for them after the class, with no increase in birth control use. That makes sense, right? You show a bunch of teenage boys whose hormones are raging. You talk to them about sex. You have them in a classroom with the girls that they're attracted to, girls they want to be sexually active with. And they're all talking about sex. And sure enough, after the class, you know, some of them right after the class are going to go have sex, and with or without a condom. And they don't make condoms to protect a girl's soul. They don't make those. Or a boy's either. They just don't make those. But let's continue. So 50% higher rate of sexual activity with no significant increase in birth control use. And by the way, that was published 3 years earlier when I resigned. I'm quoting from my resignation letter, and the headline that prompted the Rocky Mountain News to republish my resignation letter was this: 42% increase in birth rate. Teen moms abound at Adams High. 108 babies born in a year. So the 42% increase, I mean, the studies that I had referred to, they were predictive of what would happen in the case I was involved with. Let me continue with my resignation letter. Since the early 1970s, Congress has poured tens of millions of dollars into Planned Parenthood to help it bring sexuality curricula into our schools. During that time, the teen pregnancy rate soared by 90% to more than a million each year, plus nearly 500,000 teen abortions per year, an increase of 230%. So do you follow that? We're spending tens of millions of dollars to prevent teen pregnancy, and it soars 230%. And one of the things they're doing down in Memphis is they have a $250,000 advertising campaign that is based on research done in focus groups at the school. You think that's going to help? They have an after-school program funded with grant money, operated by a local nonprofit that already does some work for the city schools. Boy, sounds like a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic. And Planned Parenthood has a conflict of interest because as the young kids, the students get pregnant, many of them go to Planned Parenthood, and $500-$600 a piece, they collect money to kill the baby. And then there's another, a federally funded component that emphasizes the responsibility of young men. And so how successful will these efforts have been going on since the 70s, and we've probably spent hundreds of millions of dollars, and we have a complete failure of our responsibility as adults to protect young people growing up. So that if your daughter is in a public school, you can be certain that she is the target of systematic sexual harassment, requests for sexual favors. And, you know, when you put up with that, if there's a secretary at work, an adult putting up with that kind of an environment, after 5 years or 8 years or 10 years, eventually that adult woman is going to start to lose her own self-respect and dignity, and she's going to start to think like the harassment that she's receiving. I mean, not in every case, but that'd be a common response. Only this is children beginning young in the first few grades in grade school and going on through middle school and high school. And so that's why we see a crisis in the self-respect of young women in America. And if they're not somehow performing sexual favors for their friends, boyfriends and girlfriends today, then there's something wrong with them. And so Planned Parenthood has job security. They entice kids into sexual activity, and then they make money both by selling them birth control, like the pill that they sell them, that doesn't help to prevent AIDS or any sexually transmitted disease, and the morning after pill that's an abortifacient chemical weapon to kill young children. That doesn't help to prevent disease either, but it does kill the baby, and it helps to destroy the the protection around the young women who know that it's available. They don't have to be their own last line of defense to protect themselves. They just go to Planned Parenthood. So Planned Parenthood makes money coming and going. They sell the birth control, and then they sell the abortion to kill the baby. All right, let's continue here. So 230% increase in teen pregnancies during the period when we spent tens of millions of federal tax dollars, plus all the state, all that. So let me continue. A Johns Hopkins study reported by Zelnick and Kantner in Planned Parenthood's Family Planning Perspectives publication showed that from 1971 to 76, unintended pregnancy was actually higher among contraceptive users than among non-users. How's that? Now that makes sense, doesn't it? It does to me. And that's what this pro-abortion, pro-giving birth control to kids study found. In these years, Planned Parenthood services became widespread to students, and yet unintended pregnancy was actually higher among contraceptive users than among non-users. How safe are condoms? Family Planning Perspectives reported in October 1986 an 18% annual failure rate for, quote, safe sex condoms. The Planned Parenthood News boldly stated, now here's a quote from the Planned Parenthood newsletter in the Rocky Mountains, Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains. The Planned Parenthood News boldly stated, quote, our goal is to be ready as educators to help young people obtain sex satisfaction before marriage, unquote. Now, back when we first started to read these quotes to people, it was startling. Today, we know that our culture, many politicians in the media, Planned Parenthood, that they are child sex advocates. The first time I said that phrase 20 years ago on the air, people listening couldn't believe it. No one would advocate sex with kids. But now it's abundantly obvious to anyone with a brain who's not a fool that our society is filled with child sex advocates. I mean, even our Christian national ministries think that pornography should be legal. It's a form of free speech. And that adultery should be legal. And fornication should be legal. And what are you going to do about kids having sex? They're just going to have sex. Just what are you going to do? And so even with the Christians having given up, it's no surprise that those who are not Christian have a much more perverse agenda for the young people in America than the Christian ministries do, but even those are pretty messed up. So Planned Parenthood's goal is to help students achieve sexual satisfaction before marriage. By the way, this Friday at noon, please come to the Capitol to hear Kelly Klinger, who's formerly, she would appear occasionally on the Mickey Mouse Club. She was a backup singer for Britney Spears. And she can tell you, she will tell us in part, about the utter destruction that comes into a young woman's life when she believes the lies of our culture. And she ended up having two abortions. So she says she wants to come to Colorado in part to honor her children in heaven. And that is neat that she has recognized that those kids did not deserve to be dismembered by Planned Parenthood, and they were precious children. Okay, so Planned Parenthood wants to help your kids obtain sex satisfaction before marriage. They meet their goal well, my resignation letter continued. Focus on the Family's James Dobson recently aired an interview with Christy. With her boyfriend Jason, she attended a Planned Parenthood birth control class. The topics were so explicit and enticing that he persuaded Christy to have sex with him immediately after the class in the front seat of his car without protection. So there they are at the school, not much like not all that different from the drunken school bus driver and the teacher having sex with the student and behind the Kohl's parking lot. The whole thing is a catastrophe. Godless education is a failure. The question is whether or not you're going to let it be your child's failure. That's the question. Whether or not you're going to let it be your child's failure. Unhappy parents were assured they could keep their children out of the condom program. This is my resignation letter. Oh, really? How about the parents of 14-year-old Susan, whose boyfriend pulls out a school condom? How are they to protect their daughter from this program and that added peer pressure? The Board of Education says, be realistic. Teenagers are going to have sex anyway. That is fatalism, not realism. Sex ruins kids' lives. Do we lack faith in our children's character? If we expect 10th graders to have sex nowadays, put it down to 7th graders, 8th, 9th, 10th. If we expect 10th graders to have sex, they will. But if we challenge them with self-respect and abstinence, many will live up to that standard. Instead, we have set an impossible goal for our kids: have sex and avoid the consequences. I have pulled my children out of the district and will keep them out until basic morality, which is constitutional, by the way, returns. Well, here I am all these years later, and I know that a godless education system cannot have basic morality. So let's go to the phones, and then I'll conclude the last paragraph, perhaps. In Centennial, Mary, welcome to Bob and Eric Live.
Oh, hi, Ms. Enrod. It's good to talk to you again.
Thanks.
I'm looking forward to going down on Saturday. I'm not working now. So.
Great. I'm sad you're not working, but Mary, it's
no,
Friday.
No, I'm retired.
All right, it's Friday.
Friday, right.
Friday at noon at the Capitol. Right. Great, thanks.
I'll be there. But I wanted to make a note. A friend of mine called me, a Christian, when I was working before I retired. You know, we used to pray, walk and pray. To make a long story short.
I didn't know that, Mary, but go ahead.
Anyway, and she was talking about her daughter, and I knew, you know, from just the way of the talking of what her daughter was up against in school. She goes to Highlands Ranch. Mm. Can I say that?
Oh, yeah, you sure can. In fact, I'll tell you something about a high school at Red Rocks, but go ahead.
But anyway, but the youngster, beautiful youngster, they're church-going people, and the young lady is very darling. I raised a daughter, so I know what the children are up against. Anyway, and she has become pregnant because he intimidated her about, you know, the other girls in his life and everything, and he was a jock or whatever. And now she is expecting. And you know what he said? Because she told her parents that she wanted to be celibate, you know, and he said, what am I supposed to do? And that's the boldness of these youngsters. They feel that it's their privilege.
There are so many young people whose lives are destroyed before they're even begun, practically.
Absolutely. That's the heartbreak.
Some kids get upset at parents who know better, and they try to manipulate, and they'll say, I don't have a life. I don't have a life. And the parents will say, you know, that's sort of the point. When you're 18 or when you're emancipated, when you go out to live on your own, we want to give you your life. We want to hand you a life that day and say, now here is your life. But until then, you're a child under our roof and you're our responsibility to protect you. Mary, this morning I was at a Starbucks and talked to some of the workers there, young people.
Right.
And they said, well, what's the topic of today's show? And I said, it's the school in Memphis that's had 90 babies born. And the one girl said, what a tragedy, you know, how. And this young guy said, well, I was at the graduation for McLean High School at Red Rocks, near Red Rocks there.
Right.
Right by the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, west of Denver. Yeah. And he said, I didn't count, but every other girl graduating was pregnant or had her baby with her. Every other one. This is a crisis.
That's how I see it. It is an absolute crisis.
Yeah, God said that we wait until we're married, and young women should be told that they're worth waiting for. Here at Bob and Yurt Live, we have a DVD sex has a price tag.
Right.
And we have been selling this DVD for a long time. It is tremendous for young people, just tremendous. If you have grandkids or kids that need to see this, I'd say anywhere from age, you know, depending on their, maybe some younger kids need to see it, but other, you know, maybe 12 to 18 or so.
Now, what is the name of it again?
It's called Sex Has a Price Tag.
Oh, absolutely. And I grew up in New York, and as a young woman, you know, of course, I'm talking about quite a few years ago, 50 years ago, as a high school person.
Yeah.
But it's the idea that I enjoyed so much, and even when I was sort of almost like an indifferent, people were indifferent to me because I wasn't, I mean, even then that's how the revolution started. But then, anyway, I had so many enjoyable, I went, traveled, and I, you know, educated myself, limitedly, but I educated myself and worked and enjoyed, and this is what these young people are giving up. Not to say that they should have an abortion because, you know, they made...
No, of course not. You don't kill the child because then everything gets worse.
And I must confess that I was a single mother, too. And the pressure for me to, you know, your life is ruined. But I was an older person, older woman. But, you know, what are you ruining your life and this and that? And I just closed my, the idea, closed my ears because I had strong knowledge of the Lord loving me.
You knew that this was a child, that
That's
would be wrong to kill this child.
Absolutely. And I have a... I'm blessed with a beautiful daughter.
Oh, well, I'm so thankful that you are. So, Mary, thank you. I look forward to meeting and seeing you at the Capitol.
Oh, that's a delight. See you then.
All right. May God bless you.
Thank you. Bye now.
You're welcome. So here's the last paragraph. So the Rocky Mountain News republished my resignation letter, and then I wrote, 3 years later, my kids are still out. The boys at Adams City are having a field day, and the girls, well, they will pay the price for years to come. When a prediction contrary to expected results comes true, the wise will take notice. District 14 has yet to take notice. The author is host of Bob and Yurt Live, weekdays. So we Christians, if we know God, we know His Word, then we do have the answers for what ails our society, our nation, the world, our friends and family members, ourselves. So let's look to God. I can't wait to see you guys at the March for Life Friday at noon at the Capitol. See you there. God bless you.